مدنی مذاکرات، مدنی مذاکرات، مدنی مذاکرات، مدنی مذاکرات.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Booklet Blessings of Salat and Salam, page number 9, saying of the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, number 28. He who said the following, Jazallahu anna Muhammadan ma huwa ahlu. 70 angels will keep writing good deeds for him for 1,000 days. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Including Belgium, many other countries of Europe like France, Germany, and Switzerland were hit with heavy flood. In reports, it was found that these countries had heavy rain in just few days, which normally spreads over many weeks and months. As a result, water levels rose in canals and rivers, which caused heavy flood. Many villages were destroyed. Ya Sheikh, I've got one question to ask. That in case if people have been informed earlier, warnings have already been issued for a heavy disaster in advance. As it was the case with this flood, people were informed earlier, trains were shut, people were evacuated from their houses, and warnings were issued to people not to come out of their houses. In such scenarios, there are certain people who have got an understanding and mindset that doesn't matter, nothing will happen, we should have trust in Allah, we should do tawakkul. And with such mindset, people that don't follow government guidelines and warnings. Firstly, how is it to have such sort of mindset? And secondly, I came across one video clip in which water level was rising very high and people were recording, making videos for enjoyment. And I would like to ask you that are such moments to take some heed or to enjoy? What should be our attitude when we come across such sort of scenes of disaster, calamity and problem? Should we enjoy those moments or should we think about our own hereafter, our death? Would you be kind enough to guide us in this regard? Jazakallahu khaira.
We ask Allah Almighty for well-being. May Allah preserve the devotees of the Prophet. And may Allah Almighty also enable us to observe caution and look after ourselves. As some people say that, don't worry, nothing will happen. If that's the case, then why do they lock the doors of their house? As nothing will happen? Don't have doors at all, as nothing will happen. If there are no doors, then something harmful may enter. So it's not that nothing will happen, something may happen. And at times, thieves and robbers can also come in and sweep everything up. So this is something. So one shouldn't say things like this. It has been explained in a blessed hadith that at night, when liveliness comes to an end, one shouldn't go out at that time. Children should not be let out after the time of Maghrib. A person should not sleep on a roof that does not have a balcony. So we do find such subject in hadith pertaining to observing caution. And people say things like, oh, nothing will happen. So just so nothing happens to us, these cautionary instructions are given to us. Now, as it was mentioned regarding the heavy torrential rains and the red alert warning issued, this is of course for our own benefit. Now it is commonly observed that many people suffer a loss because of this. They drown. And among those who suffer a loss or get drowned, many of them would also say, don't worry, nothing will happen. So we shouldn't say this. How do we know whether something happens or not? We should seek refuge in Allah. When fast winds used to blow, and at the time of storm, the beloved Prophet ﷺ would become restless. He would walk from here to there and there to here. These kind of narrations are found. Whereas the beloved Prophet ﷺ knew with the best of will of Allah that whether something will happen or not. So he, alayhi salatu wasalam, would be overwhelmed with the divine fear. And you said that nothing will happen. Therefore, one should not say like this. Rather, we should seek refuge with Allah, as there are specific du'as to be recited at such occasions, which would save us from these adversities, the heavy winds, the storms, the heavy torrential rains, and all these adversities. You will find narrations and du'as for safety from them. So people end up saying things like, nothing will happen due to lack of knowledge. This is the answer to the first question. And secondly, the question regarding them making video clips. Our state is such that even if someone is dying, we'll make his video clip. We hardly have a mindset to save him. Before, there was a famous saying amongst people that perform a pious deed and then forget about it. And now the saying has been changed to perform a pious deed and upload it on social media. So people nowadays make video clips of everything. If someone is injured, lying on the floor, crying in pain, who bothers to pick him up? All they want is to make a nice video clip and then share it all around, and they'll consider it to be their achievement, saying that, look, what a unique clip I've made. And then he will wait for how many likes he gets and what comments do people leave for it. Then he'll keep reading the comments and keep getting overly excited over it. And they would perhaps swear at the one who would criticize them. So these kind of people who don't have any kind of religious mindset whatsoever end up uttering nonsense. So may Allah Almighty guide us, and we should take heed and admonition at such occasions, thinking that the way different objects are flowing in the water, alhamdulillah, that I'm safe. What would have happened if I was flowing instead of those objects? So these occasions are of taking heed, like at the time of lightning. People make video clips at that time too, whereas when the thunder strikes, it doesn't take any time to fall down. And this incident would perhaps be taking place on daily basis all around the world, that lightning would befall someone and lightning bends down a person. The thundering, it sets a person ablaze, it destroys everything. Hundreds of people, rather thousands of them, all around the world die and suffer because of lightning and thundering every year. But people make video clips. They make clips of cloud thundering, whereas the thundering of cloud is an occasion of being fearful. A person should realize this out of the fear of Allah Almighty. There's an appointed angel over the clouds who makes this happen, Ra'd. He makes all this happen, he whips the cloud. And he's of a short height. And there's also a chapter in the Quran with the name of Ra'd. So nonetheless, we should take heed and admonition at such occasions, rather than making it a means of entertainment for ourselves. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
You've mentioned few prayers, du'as, in your program Madani Muzakira, to recite when one sees someone afflicted in any problem or calamity. As recently, due to heavy rainfall, there was flood which destroyed many houses. Even people were seen drowning. Or if someone visits any patient in hospital suffering with life-threatening disease, in these scenarios, can someone recite that particular dua which starts with Alhamdulillahilladhi aafani? Can we recite this particular dua if we see anyone afflicted in any problem or calamity?
Yes, definitely. If the following dua is recited by looking at a patient or an afflicted person, Alhamdulillahilladhi aafani mimma batalaka bihi وَفَضَّلَنِي عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّنْ خَلَقَ تَفْضِيلًا, then inshallah the reciter will remain safe from that illness or calamity. But make sure that the patient or the afflicted person doesn't realize that you recited this dua, otherwise they could also get hurt, in case he would be familiar with this ruling. And in case he doesn't know anything, like normally people don't know, then even reciting it loudly in front of him wouldn't make a difference, as he wouldn't know the purpose behind making this dua. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahimahullah states that I recite this dua even by looking at the funeral of a non-Muslim, as in the calamity under which he has departed. May Allah save us from that calamity. Indeed, it is the biggest calamity, as in someone being a non-believer, a non-Muslim, is the biggest calamity. There's no calamity bigger than disbelief. We consider an illness to be a calamity. Indeed, an illness is also a trial. But kufr, disbelief, is the biggest calamity. It's not a trial, it's a calamity. It is something that makes a person destined for hell forever if a person meets his death upon disbelief. May Allah Almighty not deprive us from faith even for a millionth of a second. May faith remain with us all the time, and may we take it in our graves as well. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Some people have got an understanding that if you kill lizard, then you will not be able to cook tasty food. Is it true?
It is stated in a hadith that one earns 100 good deeds by killing a lizard in one strike, less pious deeds if he kills in the second strike, and less if he kills in the third strike. So in this way, an encouragement has been given for it, because it has been referred to as fawaisiq in hadith, small transgressor. Because the ancestor, the forefather of lizard, the chameleon, the fire that Namrud had set ablaze for Sayyiduna Ibrahim, Khalilullah, ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu was salam, it, meaning the chameleon, would blow in it. Whereas, its blowing wouldn't intensify the fire further, but it used to express its enmity towards the Prophet. Like, some people show disrespect towards the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. They attack his honor and dignity and look for flaws in him, whereas he is flawless. So they, as per their habit, keep looking for flaws. But this does not harm the honor of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam even in the slightest. So his blowing did not intensify the fire further, but he revealed his own grudge, the chameleon. Similarly, when the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was in the cave of Thor with his unparalleled devotee and the first caliph of Islam, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu an, at that time, the disbelievers, the kuffar, were in their pursuit. A spider built a web there, and it was praised, the spider. A pigeon laid eggs there. A pigeon couple stayed there, at the cave. And the disbelievers thought to themselves that if someone had entered the cave, then the pigeons would have flown away and the spider web would have been broken. So anyhow, the honor given to those pigeons is that the flocks of pigeons that are seen in Makkah even today, it is said regarding them that they are from the lineage of the very same pigeons, Prophet's devotee pigeons. So we see that on the other hand, the chameleon expressed and revealed its inner grudge towards the Prophet. And he was showing this practice to the disbelievers, saying that have a look. But the disbelievers, of course, did not understand what he was trying to say. But he, on his end, spat out his inner grudge. So this is a brief summary on this subject. And the content of the discussion which I have just made is found in different ahadith, according to my limited knowledge. So nevertheless, there is a commandment of killing the lizard. So when this command is given in a hadith, then a person losing the taste of his hand due to it, this is just a fake rumor. There's nothing like this. What would you do if a lizard falls in your food? Would you kill it or would you just leave it? Let it do whatever it wants. Normally when lizards appear on walls, what do people do at homes? Of course they kill them. Otherwise they won't let you do anything. They'll grow many. So anyhow, by killing it, nothing happens to the taste of the hand of a person. You'll gain reward if done so with the intention of reward.
As we're talking about taste, we've received one text message. Sometimes it happens when food is cooked, and if it is not tasty, my husband taunts. Isn't it a sin taunting and hurting someone's feelings? It really hurts sometimes. And now in response to such attitude, what should we do?
What have they been doing up to now? This should be pondered upon. Because since this question has been asked on air on the TV, it is possible that she told her husband that I'll get you an answer from the Madani Muzakara. So what if this kind of environment is present inside your home? So your feelings were hurt because he criticized your cooking. Now what about the aggressive reaction that the wife would come up with against her husband. What about his feelings now? This is just to make you understand. If this is your own personal circumstance, in that case, you shouldn't have mentioned it here. It will create more problems if your husband finds out about it. And if it is regarding someone else, and there's mutual understanding between husband and wife, then in this case, there's no harm in sending such question. So just be mindful of this. So anyhow, one should not criticize. If you just want to explain her, then just explain her nicely to be watchful in her cooking. Making fun of the other person is hurting their feelings. They are also human beings. They might not be expert cooks, like these restaurants, who hire professional certified chefs to run their businesses. And those chefs have regular training sessions. And then depending on how posh, fine and expensive a restaurant is, accordingly will vary the quality of their food. They have their own price list, their own customer base, so there's an element of professional training behind them. Now only that Islamic sister will be able to cook nice food who knows how to cook nice food, and her family members will be happy of her, and there will be certain shortcomings in some Islamic sisters, not all of them, but they will not accept it even if someone tells them. When they make food or do anything, they do want a feedback over it, but just a positive one. They can't take a negative feedback. So people would also at times end up lying just to flatter them, the family members. The son would say like, wow, mom, I've never tasted this kind of food before. As he can't say that, mom, what have you cooked? I don't feel like eating anymore now. What did you make today? This would be the case, and even when guests come, people ask them as well that, how did you like the food? Now imagine you're a guest, and you're being asked this question. Now the host has just fed you food. Imagine you think that you didn't like the food. What impression of yours would it leave on them? In this case, out of formality, the guest will say, it was delicious. I've eaten such food after a long time, and the female of the house is listening to this feedback and is getting overly excited and is becoming more firm upon her mistake, thinking that my cooking is perfect, whereas that wouldn't be the case. Her cooking wouldn't be anywhere close to being perfect. So on such occasions, we should make sure that we don't ask this question, that how did you like the food, neither in the home nor outside. As in case if he didn't like the food and he gives his honest feedback, then we wouldn't like his feedback. And in case he didn't like the food but lies out of formality, then he will become a sinner. Therefore, you shouldn't ask questions like this, such as, how did you like my house? Some people do have this habit, as in when they buy a new house, then they drag everyone into showing them their bedrooms, even to the extent that they show them their washrooms. The wash basin, the kitchen. Same with the women. Now many people who will be listening to me right now, they'll be looking at each other and smiling and saying to each other that I'm talking about them. So this is the common practice of everyone. I belong to the same society. I don't live in a cave. So people show them and then they ask that, how did you like this? What do you think about the color of this paint? All these things were matched up. How do you like the kitchen? Do you think that we should carry out any further works on it? How did you like this? How did you like that? What is this all about? Similarly, when people buy a new car or a new business, they keep asking others that, how did you like it? What do you say? What do you think about it? Now in this case, the person who is being asked these questions, there's a strong possibility that he will lie out of formality. He'll never say to you that your house is not clean, or I don't like this paint color. Now everyone has their own choice. Why is there a various choice of colors? If everyone had a similar kind of mindset, then there would be only one kind of color and similar decorations, but they are all different. One person likes something over here, the other over here, and another person over there. Some people want an attached bath with their rooms, and some people don't like this. They don't keep an attached bath at all, they keep it outside. So every person's thought process differs. So in such a situation, they would perhaps end up uttering yes or no out of a lie. So, we shouldn't be asking such questions because of which the other person is forced into lying. These are just a couple of examples. A wise person, a person with intellect, can take many examples out of it. How do you like my clothes? How's the design? How do you like the color? How's the embroidery on it? We shouldn't be asking questions like this. Like, look at my clothes. Look at its quality. The clothes are of a poor quality. You've been cheated. The other person can't say this, of course. The other person will, of course, say yes. They'll be like, oh, what beautiful clothes you have. You won't find such clothes even for your shroud. And indeed, you won't. Whereas our mindset should be that our shroud should be good in case it turns into fire. May it be washed with the water of the mercy of Allah Almighty.
Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad.
If parrot recites verse of sajda, will prostration become wajib for a listener?
No, this does not make the sajda wajib. Recitation of a parrot doesn't make sajda wajib.
Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Can any sister perform istikhara? We're looking at the method of istikhara mentioned in a book, Laws of Salah for Islamic Sisters. Please guide.
Yes, the method is written there for one to do it themselves. Absolutely, they can do so. The dua to be recited after salah is mentioned there.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
The question is that Allah Almighty has blessed a person with health. Now it is upon the will of Allah Almighty whether He makes a person weak, strong, or however He may like. Now I am very weak, and all the people keep saying to me that you are very weak. I underwent treatment for this as well, but still there was no difference. So why do people say that you are very weak?
Allah, Allah. You see people, they say one thing or the other about other people. I don't think you would be weak, you would perhaps be slim and smart. So to be weak, it is not necessary for a person to be slim and smart. In our childhood, we used to hear this saying that, don't get scared by looking at an obese person and don't fight someone just because he's slim. I remember there was a slim and smart boy in our neighborhood. I knew him quite well. He was our friend. He used to throw over even bigger people than himself. And he was absolutely slim and seemingly very weak too. But that's how powerful he was. So, if you take people's remarks to your heart, or I don't know, Allah knows best that what your reaction is when someone calls you weak. You haven't mentioned that when someone calls you weak, then how exactly do you react to it and show your power in order to prove him wrong? If you get angry and frustrated because of this, the other person will like it, and they will then end up teasing you more. That's where the actual problem stems from. If the person who's being teased, people will stop teasing him if he stops reacting, because they won't enjoy it anymore, so they'll stop teasing you. If you observe silence and patience, then people will stop teasing you. Otherwise, the people of this world don't spare anyone. They tease everyone. Join the environment of Dawat-e-Islami. Inshallah, if anyone teases you, then you'll learn how to observe patience. And if you're used to teasing others, then you'll abandon this habit. Inshallah, may Allah Almighty make you strong so that you may worship Allah abundantly and travel in the Madani Qafilas of Dawat-e-Islami. Keep courage and observe patience. Being weak is not a serious problem at all, as in being slim and smart. And as for having a weak body, this can also be a case for an obese person. The doctors will tell him that you have weakness inside you, and this is a reality. Now how do I look to you? Perhaps not slim and smart, but I'm a weak person. From a medical perspective, I am weak. My immune system is quite weak. It's because of my age. But apparently, no one will call me slim and smart, nor obese. My body weight is almost normal. It might be just a few kgs up or down, most probably over. It wouldn't be under, as I'm not slim and smart. So an obese person can also be weak. In fact, being obese is weakness. He can't fight with anyone. He can't run. Allah forbid, in case of an emergency, he can't run and save himself. He'll trip over. Those who are obese, even they themselves are fed up. They keep getting treatment so that they may become smart somehow. They may become slim and not so obese one way or the other. May Allah bless everyone with well-being. And to worship Him, may He give us all energy. Every person should try to protect himself against every kind of illness, especially the fatal ones. In addition to that, we should also improve our immune system. And we should also observe caution.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Someone has asked a question. There are certain family members who do not have mindset to perform good deeds at home. How to give them such mindset?
invitation to His righteousness should be given, dars from Fizan-e-Sunnat in the house should be started. Allah willing, this will develop a mindset of a pious deed and refraining from sins, and this will benefit yourself too. Start playing Madani channel at home, make others watch it, a little here and there, somehow but with love and affection, not forcefully. And remove sinful channels from your home if you have control. Sometimes a person doesn't have the control. That's a separate case then. But if you have the control, then there shouldn't be any sinful channel. And even within the satellite settings, you have this option that only Madani channel is played in your house. And there's no other channel played on your TV set. Whenever you turn it on, Madani channel would be showering its blessings. And it would be Madina Madina all around. Inshallah, this will make the youth and the grown-ups all inclined towards righteous deeds, inshallah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
On the Day of Judgment, people will be called by their mother's name or father's name.
Sayyiduna Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu narrates that the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said that on the Day of Judgment, you will be called by your own name and by that of your forefathers. Therefore, keep good names of yourself. I read this narration from page number 9 of the booklet Naam Rakhne Ke Ahkam. Forefathers refer to our father and their father and so on. So from this narration we find out that a person will be called with his name and that of his father on the Day of Judgment.
Someone read Salah without wudu. Later he realized, what should he do now?
Perform wudu and offer it again. It won't be like it's fine because I didn't know this law will not be valid.
In case person realized after time was finished that he did not have wudu.
Perform qada.
Okay, he'll do qada.
After doing wudu.
When someone dies at home, some family members, they want to see deceased in their dream. Maybe somebody wants that I see my mother in my dream or my father in my dream. How is it to have such sort of wish in one's heart? Please guide us. Is it okay to have such wish or not?
You see, it has a risk factor. Now, let's say if their wish is fulfilled and they see them in a state of punishment, then they'll be grieved for the rest of their life.
We have received one question. Water which comes out of air condition, is that pure?
Yes. If there's no other reason for it to be impure, then it is pure.
There is another question. If somebody is offering salah, can someone sit in front of him and recite Quran?
There's no harm in it. He should recite it loud enough that he can hear it himself. No other salah offering person or a sleeping person should be troubled. And if other people are reciting the Quran, even then recite it in a low voice. Generally, in masajid, people are engaged in reciting something. So it's necessary to recite it in a low voice. It should just be loud enough that a person can hear himself. This is necessary.
Brother Ali Raza is asking, can we give shoulder to a funeral of a woman who is not mahram?
Yes, absolutely you can.
We have also received questions from Islamic sisters. One sister is asking, I write from my left hand. Sometimes I think Shaitan also works with his left hand. Later I found that a very famous companion of Prophet used to work with his left hand. Is it true?
Well, regarding Satan, it has been mentioned in a hadith that Satan eats and drinks, gives and takes with his left hand. So we should perform all these four tasks with our right hand. But some of the tasks we have to perform with our left hand. For example, istinja is performed with the left hand. And that what you are saying about a sahabi, I've never heard or read about it. This is the first time I'm hearing about it. Some people are left-handed and you'll also see certain kids who are left-handed. They write with the left hand and their left hand is the more active one for them out of the two. So I've not read any condemnation regarding it. Nevertheless, one should use both the hands. I read this somewhere. Generally, the things that require a bit more force, people do them with their right hand, but we should use our left hand too. Like you need to open the door, do so with your left hand. Shut the door with your left hand. You want to pick up something, then do so with your left hand. So this way, the muscles of the left hand, arm and shoulder will also be in motion and it will keep getting worked out so that both the sides, left and right, get the same amount of workout and stretch, which would lead to power in both the arms. If you keep using just one arm and not the other, it will keep becoming stiff and weaker day by day. That's a possibility.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد.
The last prophet of Allah, Prophet Muhammad صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم said, if anyone recites لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش العظيم 3 times at night, it is as if he has found ليلة القدر. لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله
الحليم الكريم
الحليم الكريم
سبحان الله
سبحان الله
رب السماوات السبع
السبع
ورب العرش العظيم
ورب العرش العظيم
لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله
الحليم الكريم
الحليم الكريم
سبحان الله
سبحان الله
رب السماوات
رب السماوات
السبع
السبع
ورب العرش العظيم
ورب العرش العظيم
لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله
الحليم الكريم
الحليم الكريم
سبحان الله
سبحان الله
رب السماوات
رب السماوات
السبع
السبع
ورب العرش العظيم
ورب العرش العظيم
صلوا على الحبيب
صلى الله على محمد
مدني مذاكرة مدني مذاكرة مدني مذاكرة